All right. Well, hey, man.
Hey, man. Happy New Year. Cheers.
Oh, oh, you took it right out of my mouth.
I just made that up.
Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome back to City of Mimos. This is the show where Jake and I, Elliot, talk about 90s radio rock and electronica, and mostly talk about Marvel movies and all this. Jake, how you been?
I'm doing okay. You know, it feels good to be back here in the City of Mimos studios.
Yes.
Doing our closing out the year, closing mm-hmm. out season two.
Yeah.
With a nice bow, having a nice bevy. What are you drinking tonight, Elliot?
I've got spicy ranch water.
Oh, it's the best.
Do you like it too?
I enjoy it. You got to put some. If you like it, you can put like some lime, and then put some some chili powder. Like if you have like tahini,
some of that seasoned salt.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't pour it in the actual drink because it'll get to your nose and like tickle your
Ooh.
Brain.
Ooh, no thanks. How about you? What are you sipping on?
I have a lovely glass of Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Damn. All right. Classy. Well, Jake knows this, but I should tell the listeners, I tested positive for COVID last week. And even though I'm vaxxed and relaxed and ready to chillax, I don't know. I had symptoms for like 2 days, but I'm fine, guys. But folks were like, "Hey, what can we bring you? This and that. We'll bring you a care package, you know, Gatorades and vitamin C pills and all that." I'm like, "Well, I really need whiskey so I can make some hot toddies." And I've been rocking hot toddies for quite some time. I just tore through like two bottles of whiskey.
What was your go to whiskey for? And I'm happy to hear you are feeling. Happy to hear you are feeling better, my friend.
Much better. I had a bottle of Jefferson, I think. I don't know. But Jefferson bourbon or something like that. And then I destroyed a bottle of Basil Haley. Is that right?
Ooh. I'm not familiar with those.
What's your whiskey choice? I'm usually like, I'm a Jameson guy because it's my namesake. And then, you know, it's just an easy pull. And then... I do like a bullet bourbon, you know.
Can't go wrong with bullet. My favorite is the Kentucky Gentleman, of course.
Yeah.
Love the Kentucky Gentleman. You can buy a huge bottle of it for like $12. But right now, actually this year, I discovered, I call it the Metallica whiskey, but it's called Blackened.
Why do you call it the Metallica whiskey?
Because it's produced by the guys from Metallica.
Okay.
And it's awesome. Like it's really, really good. I got a bottle of it for Christmas, and that's my special occasion whiskey.
That could be a segment on our show, like which of these bands made a product and like stood behind it or something like that.
Oh, I
like
love
Weezer has like their boat cruise and stuff like that. You know, I don't know. Like
I'm trying to think. I can think of some artists that should produce an alcoholic beverage and I would buy it and support it.
Who would you pick? Tool?
Give me, oh God, no, that'd be intense. I'd just be like, I would say, what? I mean, give me the Crystal Methods High Roller, you know, give me.
Whoa, I can't believe I didn't think of that. Yeah.
But I had to be a really cool bottle. You know, don't even give me anything in the bottle. Just give me the bottle itself. I'll take it.
I get a bottle of like Daft Punk champagne. They seem like champagne guys, like French champagne. You know?
No. I'll take a can of some Draft Punk.
Draft Punk. Jacob, you made me so happy. I can't even smile. That's so good. Draft Punk. Oh my God. That's really good.
And I'll,
damn it.
Next one, I'll have a Pabst Boy Slim.
Pabst Boy Slim. Stop it. I'm gonna get mad. Smashing pumpkin latte. I don't know.
Smashing pumpkin beer.
Smashing pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, you just drink it. It's just like, ow, you know, just I was.
So this is our big kind of year end, year beginning wrap up show, right? Are we going to look back on what we've accomplished and our season ones and two and all this, and then and check in with Neve Campbell, I suppose, and then probably block her on Instagram because enough's enough. But the big thing tonight is we're gonna say our top tens.
Yes, and it's our top tens from season one and season two. So
yeah,
it's gonna be, and it's gonna hopefully be something we can continue on for as our ears get, you know, trained and stretched to our respective genre of choices.
Yes,
the list might change. Yes. So we'll have to. You know, next December, we'll recall this and see what stays the same.
Yes.
Changed. Yeah.
As we season our cast irons through this journey, we might reflect differently on things. Jake, I'm legit nervous. I was like texting friends and like showing them my top 10 list and like, what do you think about this? Oh my God. And they're like, wait, that one's number three? And I'm like, I know it should be number two. And like, I'm like legit nervous. And I'm really nervous. I'm nervous about upsetting you with my top 10 of your gifted albums. And I'm really nervous that your list is going to hurt my feelings.
I won't lie. There is one omission on my list that I think will be a shocker, but I think I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I'm genuinely nervous. But it's okay.
Is the fate of the show in the balance?
No, it's just like everything I've given you that you leave off your top 10, I'm gonna make you listen to their second album, you know, like I'm just gonna force feed it down your throat and until you apologize.
Well, and... so that's the thing. Maybe this time next year,
yeah,
you know, that the omission will be back on there because I'll, you know,
yeah,
we'll be a little wiser.
Yeah. And so far we haven't had any repeats. Like we haven't done two albums in a row from the same artist, right? In our two seasons, I think I might start doing that. I might like this other Chemical Brothers album, this other Daft Fat Boy album, blah blah blah. I'm just gonna say that for the new year. Do you think you're gonna repeat anymore?
I possibly. There's a list of artists that I'm excited to introduce to the show.
You were like gung ho last recorded. You were like, I've got some, I'm going to fuck your mind up. I'm going to fuck your world up, man. Like you seemed like you had some stuff like on the heater, like ready to go.
I'm very excited about, this, season three premiere. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Jake's looking through his notes. And it's really making me more nervous. should we just get into it or do we have to catch up with anything else? We can take our sweet time like going through our lists, but like anything else we need to address before we dive in?
Definitely want to got my floaties off, ready to dive in. The only thing I did want to talk to you about
my floaties off. I don't know why that cracked me up.
Is that we were texting each other on Christmas Eve about a show?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, right. Yes.
So Ellie and I both recently finished Disney's Hawkeye on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And at the time of last week's recording, I had already finished it because it finished. No. I had
one. You hadn't had the finale yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it that night because it came out Wednesday. Yeah. But you sounded like you were kind of on the fence. Like you weren't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had watched, you know, like most of these shows, I'll watch like the first three, then I'll be like, meh, I'll get distracted or bored. And it was a slow burn, right? Hawkeye was a slow burn. Like it was the first few episodes, I'm like, why do I care about these rich people and like Hawkeye? And like, why is Hawkeye like destitute? And then the whole Rogers musical thing, I'm like, wait a minute. Like the big choruses, I could do this all day, but like, how? Here's my thing, Jake. I don't understand, as we move forward in the MCU, like, what do people know about these Avengers battles? Why is it all public knowledge? Like, no one's filming these things. Why does anyone know about I can do this all day? Why does anyone know about this, that, and the other, and like nuances of characterisms in like the public forum? It really takes me out of it.
That's a good point. I mean,
there's like moments in these movies that are for us, but like the big wide world that these characters live in, they don't necessarily know about this stuff, do they?
Unless in the world of the MCU, these events like Captain America saying I can do this all day have been like sensationalized by the Daily Bugle or, you know, publications. You know, there could be people telling stories about Captain America saying that to like Thanos or something that, you know, because we don't know what's been written in this universe. You know, like I imagine for the show, for the Rogers musical, which for the record I would go see in a heartbeat.
So well, yeah, me too, but like
I imagine they would have interviewed people that were there, could have heard, because he didn't say I can do this all day in Avengers. That was, he did that in First Avenger, and he was like,
well, he says it in every movie.
Did he say it in the Avengers, the first one?
Well, now you're testing me. I want to say yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, and also they also don't get things right because Ant-Man is there as well.
Yeah, was that who that was meant to be? Okay, so I needed more like mistakes like that, or like leave Hawkeye out of it, and he's bummed that he's not in the musical. And then like there's like the plaque, like on this date, you know, in the Battle of New York, you know, Hawkeye looks at it, and like, it says like Thor Odinson and all this. I'm like, well, everyone knows what his goddamn like surname is, like or last name and all that. Like, come on, like, I don't. Stuff like that pulls me out of it. And like the same way that like when Don Cheadle, War Machine in Endgame, says the word superhero, like we have been doing the superhero thing for a long time. I'm like, no, don't call it that in the world. I don't know. It pulls me out of it. Anyways, I finished Hawkeye and I fucking loved it. I really truly loved it. Like the last half of that season is so great because I tore right through it. Love that Haley Steinfeld, and you forget how good Jeremy Renner is, man. Like, have you ever seen Hurt Locker? Yeah,
he's nuts.
Woo!
I think he did like Hurt Locker and then The Town with Affleck. Do you see The Town?
Yeah, The Town's dope, dude.
He's crazy. He's like, you forget that he is a really fantastic actor.
He's got this smolder to him, and he's got a little fire behind the eyes, man. I can't put a finger on Jeremy Renner because he seems like kind of a douchebag with his like his singer-songwriter stuff, but damn, he's a good actor.
Wait, he puts out music?
Yeah, he's like a big music guy.
I've never heard that. I know he like flips houses.
Flips houses?
Yeah, like in between like movies, he like flips houses.
I don't know what's worse, that or like trying to be a singer-songwriter. Yeah, he's like, he was like putting out albums, and then like he had some deal with, I think like someone like Yeti or whatever, like where he had like this is the Jeremy Renner line of like backpacks and like outdoor wear. And people were making fun of him about it because it's dumb. But he's an amazing singer. He really is. Like, if you look up, like, type in like Jimmy Fallon Hawkeye song or whatever, like he did this like really great, like I don't know, Hawkeye song based on Ed Sheeran, I think. It's really funny, and he's got the pipes, man. But like, but just maybe I'm just jealous. I'm like, hey, have one thing. You can't be like handsome, smoldering, and sing songs and stuff. But
did you ever see that SNL skit where he was hosting, and it was the Battle of New York, and
when he runs out of arrows?
Yeah, and he's like, what is it? And it's like, you know, Iron Man, you deflect the nuclear bomb from going in the thing. And he's like, got it. And then it's like, Thor, you fight, you know, and then it's like Hawkeye. And he's like, well, I don't have any arrows, so I guess I'm going home.
And they're like, what? He's like, I brought 20 arrows. I killed 20 aliens. You're welcome. I'm going to go home. but the season finale of Hawkeye with like the kid on Calm Trick Arrows too, which I didn't like that either. I don't know. I have a real problem with the vocabulary, but it was the Pam arrow on the bridge was really cool.
That was cool.
Oh man. And then like when him and Kate Bishop are like making all the arrows and they're just gearing up, like, come on, forget it. And of course, our boy Vincent D'Onofrio.
Man, he looked gigantic.
Yeah.
He looked like the Kingpin, leave Schreiber's Kingpin from into the multiverse.
Oh, is it Leif Schreiber?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I love Leif Schreiber. Another underrated guy. Yeah. Whereas he's just a fucking rectangle on the screen.
Yeah. And it could just be because I don't think Jim Renner is a very tall guy. You know, and he like Haley Steinfeld, I think she's like 5'8", but he just like when in there, spoiler alert, Hawkeye, he's back. He has a fight with Kate Bishop, Haley Steinfeld, and he's just like towering over her. Like the way they shot it, he looks gigantic.
He's like throwing her around like she's like a bag of Doritos. Like it's pretty wild. And like they always shoot him from like under, you know, to make him look bigger and all that. So yeah, it's another reprisal. D'Onofrio's back. There ain't no way they killed him off at the end. Like they kind of pan away all this. Man, that finale it was, you know, pure joy.
We got to talk about you mentioned Echo, played by Alakwa Cox.
Alakwa.
I thought she was fantastic in it.
Sure.
I want to say this was her first time in a acting role.
Where are you reading that? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I just thought she was absolutely killer.
She's great.
I'm excited to see more of her.
Talk about smolder. She has some smolders. Yeah.
I've got everyone pulled up. Yeah, Hawkeye was her first gig. Crushed it. I want to talk about Tony Dalton as Vera Farmiga's fiance Jack with his like crazy sword.
The swordsman.
Is that who he's supposed to be?
Yeah.
The swordsman. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And like kind of like oblivious to everything. He was just like, don't worry, I'm being framed. It's okay. I'm fine. You know, like
we're
arresting. And he just comes out and starts like murking people with his sword.
Killed. Yeah. Well, I think like the first half of the season, though, I was like, is this guy like gonna be a bad guy? Like, I don't really care. Some, you know, boomer swordsman. But then like at the end, he's like, you know, kind of saves the day. He's like, ding, 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 ding. And then, like, it's a kicking ass, which was great. It's great.
And then the other one before we jump to our list, Florence Pugh. I just, every time, you know, she's popped up twice now and such a treat. She's awesome. I love her.
Dude, she's phenomenal. Have you seen Midsommar yet? You haven't. You have? Have you talked about this yet?
I don't think at the time recording I had, but just what? Just fantastic.
She's way better in Hawkeye than she is in Black Widow.
Yeah.
Black Widow : contractual obligation movie. Like, honestly, like that movie doesn't need to exist, but it was fine, I guess. But like, man, if it only introduces Yelena, she's so good. She's like, hello, Kate Bishop. I made macaroni and cheese. Like, Are you done? Can I put hot sauce on it? I love hot sauce. Like all the little character moments. Like she's damn, she's good. Oh my God. Really good stuff.
Very excited to see where they take her on DNC. But yeah, no. So, and the other thing, since we're on the subject of list this week, this was the year of Disney Plus Marvel shows.
Yeah.
So we had WandaVision,
Loki,
Hawkeye, and then you can already tell where it's going to wind up on my list because I can't remember.
What if?
Not live action.
Oh, you're not counting What If. All right.
Not counting What If. Mainly because I haven't finished it.
Winter Soldier. And yeah.
Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah, God. Wow.
Afterthought. I could not remember that for life of me. So, don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you could off top
of your head. Put me on the spot. I'm done. I got it. Out of the four?
Yeah, out of the four.
It feels weird to say that Hawkeye is better than Loki because Loki was like a lot of fun and like really well done and all this. And probably more of Loki was more fun to watch than Hawkeye in episode to episode because it was like a lot of cliffhangers and like a lot of cool stuff. But like, I think Hawkeye was at the end more satisfying because Loki was so cliffhangery and all that at the end. So I gotta go Hawkeye number one, Loki number two, WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier.
Okay. So I got Falcon Winter Soldier 4, Loki. So
Loki's 3 for you?
Loki's at number 2. Hawkeye WandaVision came in at a tie.
Wait. Falcon Winter Soldier is number 1?
Oh, no. Hawkeye WandaVision came in at number 1 at a tie.
Okay. According to your Excel spreadsheet of enjoyment.
Yeah. How happy was I? You know, how many smiley faces did I give it? No,
got it.
I loved Hawkeye. I thought it was like beautifully shot. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy Hailee Steinfeld. I mentioned that last time.
Yeah.
It was cool. I love seeing Vincent D'Onofrio back.
Yeah. I mean, forget it. That guy is. Yeah. Yeah. He's amazing.
And I think he like enjoys that role a lot because I saw on Twitter he was tweeting about it and he was just like, you know, enjoy the show. You know, it was thank you for welcoming me to the MCU, blah, blah, blah. He seemed like really, really into it, you know, and
they got to bring him back. They can't lose that talent, right? He's so good.
He's killer. We watched the movie with him to Sandra Bullock. Vehicle called the Unforgivable. It's on Netflix, and he kind of pops up in it, and he's just he comes out on screen. I'm just like yes, it's not for you.
I've been into that guy. I've been like into him since like Full Metal Jacket. Like we've talked about this before too. Like but like for Adventures in Babysitting. Remember that talk?
Adventures in Babysitting. See, Vincent D'Onofrio like is important to me for a lot of reasons, mainly because Adventures in Babysitting is the movie that sparked the interest in the Marvel comics universe.
Because he's mistaken for Thor.
Yes, and you know, I made my own Thor helmet because of that movie. I thought the little girl in that movie was the coolest, I just thought, I was like, oh yeah, this is, wait, what's, I wanted to get the Sarah, the actress is Maya Bruton. She played Sarah Anderson. I just thought she was the coolest. And so I started drawing comic books because like she was drawing comic books. And so yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio was like my entry into getting into comics. And so it's just, I don't know. That's one of my faves. That movie means a lot to me.
I really need to rewatch. I haven't seen it in quite some time, but did you see Don't Look Up on Netflix?
I haven't seen it, but I saw that Adam McKay is kind of getting like some heat.
What being heat for it?
Just because he's I don't know why.
Like good heat or bad heat?
Bad heat.
Why?
I don't know. People were just like talking negatively about him. is it a bad movie?
No, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great.
Really?
It's like really funny and like poignant and like it's gonna make you bummed out about the human race and all that. But like, it's like him flexing his muscle that hates everyone. Like, wow, like we're not gonna help ourselves. We're not gonna get out of this together. Like, humanity sucks, kind of movie.
But with that, you ready to dive into our top 10 list?
Yeah, let's do this. So, oh boy, I'm really nervous. Okay, so Jake, okay, here's how we're gonna do it. So, in ascending order from 10 to 1, Jake and I have looked at all the albums we've given each other, gifted each other, as Jake would say, and we're gonna give each other the top 10 albums that we've received. Yes.
Yes.
Including soundtracks. Okay.
So how do you want? Do you want to go like back and forth or?
Yeah, we should go back and forth like 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8.
Okay.
Jake, did you pour over your list like I did? Or was it no problem to put this in order for you?
It was actually a little trickier than I was thinking it would be.
Okay.
And I think there's going to be some surprises here.
Okay, I think so too. Oh, I'm so fucking nervous. So this is out of, is it 22 albums that we've given to each other?
22, yeah.
22. So these are our top 10s. All right, let's just go. Jake, what's your 10?
All right, so starting off my list, I have the 1996 soundtrack for Trainspotting.
Trainspotting is number 10?
Yeah.
Okay. At number 10, I have Eve 6.
Okay, that's fair. I'm surprised.
I'm like legit, like tingly and like worried.
I'm actually surprised E6 made your list. That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Towards the lower end of things, it's just going to be more interesting, I think, than our top like three, which we could probably guess each other's. It was like that or Sugar Ray, like because like I like the poppy fun stuff, but like. Eve 6 just kind of just beat him out.
There's some great stuff on that album. You know, you got Road Trip Song, you got, Inside Out. I mean, that's their most iconic tune. That's a good one. I mean,
yeah, Inside Out got the placement. Yeah,
it's a bop. I mean, you hear that one, and you're just like, could be anywhere that song comes on, and then everyone will start singing it.
It's a good tune, bro. What's your number 9?
My number 9, I went with BT's Electric Sky Church Music.
ESCM, love it. Okay. Number 9.
Oh.
That's your number 9?
That's my number 9, yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right.
For this assignment, I went back and I listened to the songs that I hearted that were standouts for me. And man, just returning to tracks off this one, Firewater, Orbitus, Terranium, and Content. Man, those are some just trance masterpieces. And the BT might be higher up. The songs were longer. I think this was the first album that we listened to where the songs were, each song was probably like 8 to 10 minutes.
They're long. I thought you didn't like Firewater.
I went back and revisited it.
Yes.
I just really going back and listening to those tunes, it was wonderful. So
awesome. My number 9 is Korn.
I'm surprised. Oh no, we had a good conversation about Korn.
But I liked Korn a lot because it reminded me of, like high school and also like that lower bass string or whatever, like, seventh, one of the better like track ones of an album, right? Are You Ready? Come on, here we go. Come on, that's great.
I love so much of the 90s rock albums are defined by like their track ones, you know, because you have like Smells Like Teen Spirit, you know, you had
Smells Like Teen Spirit track one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
See, hint, hint, give me some Nirvana, because I don't know the track listings too well.
We haven't dived in there.
We haven't done Nirvana.
But I feel like season three is going to be one of those seasons where we're going to get to those bands that maybe our listeners were like, why haven't they talked about Green Day, you know, or something like that.
Oh, so, love it. Yeah, sure.
So stay tuned. Yes. But no, Korn's Killer, I mean, Chutes and Ladders off that one is such a crazy song. My like AIM username at one point was like Ball Tongue. I don't know what a ball tongue means. I still don't, but when
it's gotta be a sex thing. I don't know.
It's gotta be. But there I was at 11.
Like, 11, digging it.
What do you got for your number 8?
My number 8 is, oh, see, here's where it gets real tricky and I get nervous. My number 8 is Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay.
Siamese Dream. Liked it a lot. It's not my favorite Smashing album, but I really enjoyed listening to it.
What would you put your favorite Smashing Pumpkins album?
As far as I know, from my casual Smashing Pumpkins listen dumb, it's Adore.
Okay, because
that's like, wow. That's kind of like their electronic-y one, right?
Yeah, you had an affinity for it.
I certainly did have an affinity for it, yes.
You had an affinity war for Adore.
Avengers Affinity War?
Oh my God.
Episode title.
Oh yeah.
All right. Affinity War, dude. Okay, that's great. Wait, what's your number 8?
My number 8 was the Matrix soundtrack.
Okay.
Going back and listening to this one, gosh, you had so much that I really loved. The propeller heads from last week. This is the first album that I ever heard Rammstein on. And I think like in our very first episode, we talked about going to see them.
We haven't done Rammstein yet.
Mm-mm. So they're coming.
Oh.
And this one, I may have told the story on the show, but I remember my good friend, John Medina, which if he's listening, hey, John.
Hi, Johnny.
He had a CD player, and it was one of those CD players. It was with the clear lid.
Yeah. You could see it spinning.
And he had the Matrix soundtrack. And every time we hung out, I'd say, hey, can I listen to the Matrix soundtrack? And he'd be like, sure. So I'd like, we'd be like out at a restaurant after a ball game or something that we just played. And I'd be like, hey, do you ever see a player? Cut some of the Matrix soundtrack. And he'd be like, okay. So I would just like, it'd be at a table, everyone eating. And I would just be sitting there listening to Rob Zombie's Dracula. Just on.
Wow. Because Dracula's on. Yeah.
Loved it. So yeah, the Matrix coming in hot at number 8.
Cool. Okay. All right, my number 7 is Notorious B.I.G.
Okay. I was hoping he was going to make the list.
I can feel you getting nervous. Okay. Yeah. I mean, this one was just awesome. And, like, it's one of those albums that I've always, like, appreciated tangentially, like and peripherally, you know? But, like, I never, like, sat down and listened to the whole thing front to back. And I'm glad I did because it's awesome. So, yeah.
Absolute hip-hop masterpiece. I really, really was happy we got to talk about that one. I can't recall, but so in Texas, you know, we have Selena, you know, like that are our artists, you know, Willie Nelson, you know, George Strait. We have, you know, these artists that we hold, that they're like, they're ours, you know, like they're, when you were living in New York, was that how Notorious B.I.G. was viewed? Like, because he's a New York guy.
If you're in my world, in my world when I was living in Brooklyn and all that, it's like no one's from there.
Okay. You
know? So it wasn't, I didn't bump into a lot of like, wait, you don't know this guy or whatever. and it probably has a lot to do with who I was hanging out and where I was going and all this. But not a lot of wait, why don't you know this New York stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. You would hear legends of like, you know, CBGB I would hear a lot more about like the punk rock and like dance stuff because that's like kind of where I was at, but like not so much the homegrown hip hop stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. And maybe it's because I don't know, like, cause I've been studying Texas music for years and it's like, how like some places, cause I've run into someone and I'm totally drawing a blank right now where one of my favorite artists is from. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do you listen to this artist? And they're like, no, not really. You know?
Oh, wow.
Maybe it's like one of those things where, you know, there's such a, in Texas, if you haven't been here, there's a certain pride about being in Texas, you know? And I think that extends to our sports teams, that extends to our literature and our actors. You know, I know because me personally, whenever someone mentions who's an obscure tech, like Scott Joplin, who was a very influential like jazz piano player. He's famous for writing. He was the king of ragtime, and he's from Texas. You know, so in conversation, I've come to find myself where I'm just like, oh yeah, Scott Joplin, you know, he's from Texas, you know, like, I don't know if it's like a personality flaw, but there's like a certain pride to, you know, when I know an artist is from Texas and they come up in conversation, it's like, oh yeah, you know, the drummer for the Foo Fighters, he's from Fort Worth, you know,
like, wow. Yeah. So yeah, I get that. Wait, what's your number seven?
Number seven, I have an album in hindsight that I feel like I should have put higher. But I have Portishead's Dummy.
Love that Portishead made the list.
This one was very influential to me, and I'll tell you why at the end of the episode. But yeah, reading the story behind the band, getting to experience trip hop.
Yes.
was really cool. It was different sounding album for the show, and really enjoyed this one.
Sultry,
I think that was cannot give it up to Beth Gibbons enough. Can sing the hell out of a song.
Yeah.
Joff Barrow, Adrian Utley as well, they're fantastic.
Absolutely.
How about you?
Do you want to give me your number six, or should I go? Okay. All right. My number six is Blink-182.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy that they're in the top 10.
They're in the top six. What album did we listen to? I forget.
Enema of the State.
Yes, of course. I really had a fun time listening to it. And I think our discussion was astonishing. And like, we had a great time talking about it. It was like giggling listening to it. So it, you know, if I'm rocking out, dancing, singing along and laughing, like, I don't know, you did your job. So I had a great, great time.
That's awesome. I mean, I know I talked about on the episode, but man, that album and that band just mean the absolute world to me. And, and I think Enema of the State will be like in 30, 40 years, like, it'll be like the Cars self-titled album.
Oh.
Just like this perfect piece of pop rock. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I don't know, in that time, someone will turn on the classic rock station and they'll hear What's My Age Again and
laugh. Yeah, What's My Age Again? Forget it.
Just be and sucked right in.
And all the small things, and like also the album was like 40 minutes long or something.
Yeah,
how purposefully digestible it was. Yeah, you know, I worry that some of my albums are so long and all that. So,
and that's such a treat. It's like, yeah, it's we actually got to see them do that album in full, which is mm-hmm. really, really cool. So
dope.
So my number six.
Yeah.
DJ Shadow.
Oh, thank Christ. Yeah, it's like, oh, and Shadow's above Portishead too. How about that? Because when you said trip hop, I was like, yeah, well, what about Shadow? And then, I'm just so glad you liked introducing enough as much as you did. I just got the new anniversary edition vinyl. It's very sick, and it came up with a little 7-inch on that. Love it.
Oh, I've seen the 7-inch out. It's got different artwork on it. Yeah, that one was really one of those. It was an incredibly memorable listening experience. I was, you know, finishing my paper. And I think even on the episode, you were just like, it's good. Just like put it on and just like work on your paper music. It really, really was. It's just such a masterpiece and one that I found myself returning to.
Yeah. I think one of the more artful ones we've done, I've submitted to you. Like it's just, it really has something to say, and it's really just, so fantastic. I love it so much.
Absolutely. So here we go. So we got the top five.
All right. Top five. Here we go. Oh God. Can we take a breather? I'm panicking now. Well, but okay. I'm pretty sure I know what you're, well, I don't know. Okay. Fuck it. All right. Here we go.
Have you been surprised so far?
Pleasantly. I'm loving your list so far. Truly. My number five, you ready?
Hit me.
Here we go. Because here we go. My number five is Alanis.
I love that.
Okay. Alanis Morissette. You know, it's one of those albums that, like, I, you know, another tangential thing, like knew it, but like, it's fucking sick, dude. This album's awesome. Jagged Little Pill is dope as fuck.
So my number five, I got.
Yeah. Oh God.
The Avalanches.
Avalanches. Okay. Love it. Okay.
The Avalanches and the accompanying YouTube documentary you sent me, were incredibly eye-opening experiences because, you know, like up until then, I'd never seen how these songs were created, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the magical things of electronic music for me is I have no clue, even though I've read, we discuss, I don't know how it's made.
It's quite mysterious.
Like, yeah. It's mysterious, yes, you know, and even after all this time, it's mysterious. And, you know, if you put it on like a guitar-driven record, I can listen to it and be like, okay, like there's an acoustic guitar back there. He's doing this part. There's, you know, a distorted guitar and he's doing that part. And then they're playing the melody. I can grab it.
Yeah.
With electronic music, it still throws me for a loop, which is what a lot of electronic music is. A loop.
Hey, how about that? Oh, well done. Well done, Jacob. Yeah. I love when I see a band. I know how music works sort of. You know, so like, if I see like a 3-4-5 piece band, I'm like, got it. Bass, guitar, drums, vocalist, like, but if you can throw me and I'm a little curious about, wait, what's going on, where's that sound coming from, it's everything. So I love that. Avalanches, excellent. Okay. Oh, this is where I get real itchy. My number four is Elliott Smith.
Okay. Wow. I thought he was in contender for two or one.
See, I know he should place higher. But I'm like trying to look at this list through the Sippin' Mimo's ear, as we call it. And it's only because I was familiar with it and and it didn't like surprise me as much maybe. But it's still so great. And like all his stuff is awesome. And you know, we talked XO. Yes. Or which album are we talking
about? If that was our 2000s episode.
Right.
Where we broke the 1990 to 1999 rule.
Right. Avalanches and Elliott Smith. So how about that? They're neck and neck with each other.
Let's see. Wait. Hold on. Figure eight. Sorry.
Oh, of course. Figure eight. Of course. With the mural and everything. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. But of course it's, you know, I love it. No, it's Elliott Smith always has a place in my heart forever. What's your number four?
My number four might be a surprise. Have all the way all the way from Manchester, England, we have the Chemical Brothers' Surrender.
Surrender is number four?
Number four.
Oh, okay. I have no idea where you're going now. Okay, that's awesome. I thought that might be your number one because I know you really dug it. I love this.
I absolutely adore this record. You gifted me this record for my birthday last year. And I
did, yeah.
I love this one.
Number four, though. Oh, I'm so excited now.
Standout tracks that I, you know, just
all of them,
to. All of them, absolutely. But Music Response, Music Response is one of those because this was like one of our early episodes, like,
yeah, it was like episode two or something, I think, or two or three.
We were like, yeah, like it was still early 2020.
Wow,
but I hadn't revisited it in a while. And Music Response came on my shuffle.
Music Response, though.
And I was just like, damn, this song still goes so hard, you know? And having that Mimo's ear, you know, that stretched out ear, it still sounds so fresh. And I still can't get over Let Forever Be. I love that song.
Yeah, with Noel. Yeah, of course.
Huge Oasis. Fan
that, it's, I'm curious that you said Music Response because that's one of the it's the track one, it's the opener and all that, another awesome opener, but it's pretty heady and techy and all that. Like I thought maybe the stats would be the more vocally tracks on here.
Well, I think this is it's really neat to see how
Jake's beaming right now. What's going on? What
it's neat to see how my preferences have changed.
Wow, I love this.
So who do you got number three? Top three.
Number three?
Mm-hmm.
Rob Zombie.
Whoa, I thought he was gonna be your number one.
Nope.
Wow.
Now you, see, now you don't know what the hell is going on. Rob Zombie, like, there's another host bands like Corner that I had, like, you know, heard, you know, when I was younger, but like listening to the whole album, I had such a goddamn good time just dancing around my apartment having a blast, and Jake gifted me the vinyl and all this, and I love it so much. It's so beautiful, and you know, what's my favorite one on there? They all sound like that.
Super Beast, sorry.
Yes, Super Beast. Super Beast, like, it was like, wow, okay, this is like my new pump up tune forever now. I loved it so much. Rob Zombie is my number three.
And on the subject of Rob Zombie, he released a fantastic record this year, called The Lunar Injection Kool-Aid Eclipse Conspiracy.
What? Oh, wow, he's good at titling things,
dude. It's awesome. It's
what's the album like?
It's a great album to listen to right after listening to Hellbilly Deluxe.
Okay.
It's very, very heavy guitar. It's mixed beautifully. It's a clean 41 minutes. I couldn't recommend it more.
Is it like, why am I thinking that it might be like droney? Is it droney?
No.
Or is it more metal pop? Stuff
metal pop.
Okay, I'll check it out because cool. I'm a fan. Number three,
I'm going with Crystal Method's Vegas.
Okay. I'm so glad you like that one. Oh boy, awesome.
This one I actually return to frequently. Cruising in the car, getting ready to go out. Getting ready for the day. This is a fun one, and such a joy to listen to.
Excellent. All right, then. Cool. Hey, favorite track on there?
It's a toss up between Trip Like I Do and High Roller.
Yeah, you liked High Roller. That's cool. That's a deep cut to be into. I'm like, I'm like,
I actually think like when we were leaving Vegas this summer, I think it was playing in the airport. And like, I think the guys from the band were like welcoming people to Vegas on the screen. Like, welcome.
Oh, we
to
taught
Vegas.
Them at that. Yeah. On the Natalie episode. Oh. Right. It was Natalie versus Chris and Martha, right?
Yeah.
We should pause before number one, but I want to like, oh, fuck it. Let's do it now. I just want to say like, looking at the numbers, our biggest episodes, our most listened to episodes are Blink 182 versus Low Fidelity R Stars. And then like a very close second is Crystal Method versus Madonna. And then right after that is Notorious B.I.G. versus Portishead. Those are our top three most listened to episodes.
Ah, well, hey, cheers to the listener. Like to take this time out to thank you for listening. That's
keep your head in the game, Jake. Don't let it go to your
head. Sorry. I'm getting sentimental. Thanks,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so
wait, did you just say your number three? Your number three, yeah, Crystal Method. Okay,
yeah,
Vegas. Okay, all right. My number two. You ready?
Hit me.
Weezer's Blue Album.
Okay, I knew that was going to be high because I remember that was a really great conversation, and that's a fantastic album.
Yeah. I can always return to that one.
There's no bad songs on there. Like, there's,
it's pretty pristine.
Yeah. It's a slice of like pop heaven.
It's pop heaven, yeah.
My number two. You ready for this?
I'm looking at your list and I'm really nervous.
Number two for me, Fatboy Slim's "Better Living Through Chemistry."
Ooh, boo! How about that? I didn't expect that. Okay. Okay.
I on my list I put the, you know, the artists and the songs that, you know, were standouts for me, like my hearted songs. For that Fatboy Slim record, I just put the whole album.
Awesome. Okay, great.
Badass. Just so badass. And I don't think we've talked about the song Eat, Sleep, Rave, Repeat.
Yeah, you sent like links to this. Links to it. That's very much a later aughts Fatboy tune.
Very late, but it was so Fatboy Slim was on repeat a lot for me this year.
All right.
And it started with this album, so it was just killer.
Excellent.
All right. I'm trying to think. Okay. Who do you got?
My number one is Beastie Boys' Hella Nasty.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's recency bias or whatever, but like frankly it's just, it's kind of a gimme. Like I almost thought of like, well, should I just like leave this one off, but then it would just drop to Weezer as my number one. But Beastie Boys, come on, like that's my number one.
Your excitement for that one was palpable even over digital call. So that was such a treat to listen to. Like I said, I only recently started like diving into more of the Beasties, and that one I've been gravitating a lot towards. So being able to discuss it and learn more about it was wonderful. So I'm really happy you enjoyed that one.
Yes, you as well. What's your number one? Should I guess?
Do you want to try guess?
Is it homework?
No.
No. Tell me.
Okay. So this one might be a controversial opinion.
Okay.
But this piece actually was what I was looking for.
Oh my God, Jake, don't do this to me. I'm wrecking my brain. Like, what could it be?
This piece of music was what I was looking for.
Oh, I know where.
From the time, you know, from like 98 on. Mm-hmm. And I learned that the music that I loved listening to as a kid, that electronic, piano driven, trancey music, you know, stems from this one. So my number one song past 2 years is For an Angel by Paul Van Dyke.
With a bullet.
Man.
How about that?
Beautiful piece. So grateful for the recommend. Yeah, it's just, you know, and so we talked about, oh gosh, now I can't remember the song. I've talked about my cousin Missy and this magical mix CD she burned me.
Magical mix CDs.
And how there was just one song on there, and it was, I always called it like Rainfall or like Rain or something like that, but that's not the name of the song. Okay. The song is actually called, oh my gosh, did I not save it? What, that song, it's Children by Future
Robert Free. Miles.
Huh?
Robert Miles, Children.
Robert Miles, Children.
For Clubbers Remix is what you were listening to.
For Clubbers Remix.
Yeah.
So listening to that, you can hear Paul Van Dyke's influence all over that. So listener, there's this song for children, right?
Mm-hmm. Children.
Children. I even now, like I know what song it is, but I still can't wrap my head around it. So I never knew what the name of the song was. I would try like singing it for people. I'd be like, you know, do 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 do, and they'd be like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Do do do do." No, listen. And then it goes, "Do do do do," and it's all delayed.
It's more like bum. Bum bum bum, bum bum bum, bum bum bum,
and he goes,
ba-da-da. Yeah.
And dude, I think I got that CD in like 2002, wow. And I just learned the name of it last month, November 2021.
Wow.
And listening to it, and then listening to Paul Van Dyke's For an Angel, I'm like, oh, this is why I love this, you know, PBD song, because it reminds me of this music that I heard, gosh, almost 20 years ago.
You called him PVD. I just love that so much. It's awesome, man. I'm so glad that track moved you the way it did, because that was a special episode, and like, you know, and a single track that, like, you know, consumes me all the time. Like I love it so very much. And I worked, but I got listeners go back and listen. But yeah, it's a goodie.
When I, which actually springing something on you now. So as you remember, last year we ended out our final episode with a musical piece made by me.
Yes.
Listening to our artists from this year, which I feel like we're more sample based. I don't know why. Maybe it's because maybe my ear was a little bit more trained to listen for that. I've always wanted, I think I brought this up to you before, like I wanted to get into, you know, making beats and maybe playing them out somewhere.
Uh-huh.
When I saw the guys in the Avalanches using a computer to do it, I thought, oh, I can do that. You know, I have a laptop. I have a turntable with a USB. I'm going to give this a try. So,
oh, Jake.
So for ending out 2021, I made my first piece of electronica. And I was hoping to release it on the pod.
Yes, please.
Yes.
I was gonna ask you, like, hey, can you put something together for this episode special? But you already did. Oh, Jake.
So I made it. It's just my first stab at it. I sampled a song by the R&B band. Or funk and soul band, The Main Ingredient.
Okay.
And the song is called Goodbye, My Love.
Okay.
And kind of taking a page from the Avalanche's book, kind of built it from just that sample. And very excited for the listener and for Elliot to hear it.
Oh man.
But yeah, so, and I'm hoping to actually do something musical in 2022. I've been thinking of some things to do on that end, just because for so long it was such a big part of my life, and then school happened and I had to take a back seat. So I'm hoping to get back into it and get more creative with that. So, but
yeah,
more on that in 2022. But yeah, awesome. I'm very excited for everyone to hear it.
Oh, I'm deeply excited. I have no idea. Oh, that's so cool.
But I think that'll do it with lists. I'm very,
those are our lists. I'm very happy too. I loved your list, man. I don't know why I was so nervous about it. I'm like, oh, he's going to hurt my feelings. You left off Orbital. That's fine. But that only means I get to give you another Orbital album sometime down the road, and that you, it'll move up your list a little bit. Maybe. Or maybe not. Because, you know, this is what Simi Mimos is all about. We're listening to stuff and like and experiencing it and stretching our ears, as you say, and all that. So here's to another awesome season.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Who's our new?
Finish my drink.
it's our new crush. We're gonna get Ethan Embry.
Oh yeah. So looking forward to 2022. On top of, you know, hoping to dip our toes back into our individual artistic endeavors, and of course sharing it with y'all. Our schedules just, you know, couldn't line up with Neve Campbell, which is a bummer because, you know, she's got a new Scream movie coming out this year.
I thought it might coincide with her, like, pushing into the Scream movie, but yeah, I don't know.
I understand, you know, to indie radio host, I understand. So Neve, we wish you the best. Hopefully you can squeeze us in for an interview. We'd love to talk to you about.
We'd still love to talk to you, Neve, but you know, it's season three now, and we have to kind of move on, and we have to pick a new love interest.
Yeah. So with that, I think, you know, one of my movies this year was I Hardly Wait, and the star of that was Mr. Ethan Embry.
Ethan Embry. Can't Hardly Wait was like a notable like of note on my list, like because I really did enjoy listening to that soundtrack. But yeah, Ethan Embry, we can get him on the show, right?
I feel like he's a real get. I feel like we can get him.
I think we can get
him. So we're gonna have a new segment talking everything Ethan. We're gonna hope to get Ethan Embry on the show and talk about his career in the 90s and what some of his favorite 90s music.
I want to hear all about his favorite 90s music. And Adam Driver, you're dead to us.
Adam, hey.
He missed his shot. He's blacklisted from Sippin' Mimos. We're done.
That breaks my heart. I was really excited to potentially get him in there. And
are you kidding? I'm going to talk to Adam Driver. I'm not actually mad. We're just doing a bit.
No, we're really going to get these luminaries.
Luminaries. We can get Ethan on the show. He'll talk to us about his favorite album. He was in Empire Records, man.
Oh, if we can do an episode just on Empire Records, that'd be fun.
Not a bad soundtrack. Okay. Speaking of, how do you want to start off in the year, Jake?
Oh yeah. So, Sip and Mimos will keep on rocking.
In the free world.
In 2022, we are not slowing down. We're going to keep on recording. Let's see. And listening to exciting new albums.
Yes. Or old albums.
Or old albums. So this one, I have one, you know, earlier I was talking about how I think it might be like a personality flaw of mine where I'm like very like, oh, you know them? They're from Texas. So I'm kind of putting my foot in my mouth by saying this next man is from Texas.
You have no flaws. Don't let yourself say it.
So I'm very excited to listen. So this one, my goal is to introduce this album in January, so that way you can really look at the new year and just ready to just rock the heck out of it. This is a band that I've listened to for about 20 years now. Wow. Some most amazing guitar work and drum work and just all around work, you'll hear. It's actually celebrating its 30th anniversary in February.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome to the podcast Pantera.
Whoa.
And the album we're going to listen to is Vulgar Display of Power from 1992.
Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Standout tracks. Check out Walk. Check out This Love. Hollow. And Mouth for War.
Woo! Okay. Okay. We're going to start 2022 off rocking and rolling, because here's my album for you.
What you got?
It's an album called Risotto by Fluke.
Fluke.
Fluke. F-L-U-K-E. Tracks on here of note, Absurd, Atom Bomb, which you might have come across Atom Bomb before in like video games and stuff like that. Also, and the last three tracks, very similar to the Prodigy's Digital Generation, which didn't end up on your temp time list, which is fine, are kind of a suite unto their own. You're going to dig this one, I think, and I certainly hope. Fluke's Risotto.
Awesome. This is one I've never heard of, but the fans also like on Spotify, the first one is Crystal Method. So rock and roll. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Approach it like a Crystal Method album and you'll dig. Yeah.
I think actually one of the things you talked about when you gifted me Crystal Method's Vegas was like, this is like you're getting ready to go. Was it like go out and kill someone music? Was that the
go kick some ass? Yeah.
I think I don't know why I was thinking John Wick, go out and kill someone. Go out and kick some ass music. Pantera is definitely kicking ass music.
Okay. Okay. Ooh, I'm excited to check out some Pantera. I don't know any Pantera, man. Okay, I'm excited. What's like their big song that I would know?
Off this one, you probably know.
Or any song whatsoever. Like what's?
I would say Walk.
Walk?
That's one that goes dan 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 dan.
I don't know. All right. Okay. I know the name and all that, like from being around. Probably my friends are metalheads. A lot of my friends are metalheads. But I should know this. But here we go. All right, Pantera. Pantera versus Fluke.
Pantera versus Fluke.
Fluke, you're gonna dig it. You're gonna dig. I can just by looking at your list, bro. You're gonna dig it. I'm excited.
I'm excited, man, and I'm looking forward to stretching my ear even more and talking more electronica and rock with you.
Awesome, man. Well, cheers to the end of another pretty rough year, but we're here. And I've had a lovely time hanging out with you, man. And here's to another few episodes next year, man.
Hell yeah, man. And if you had a rough year, you made it. You have another chance at it. We all do next year. So I know it sounds redundant, but try to make the best of it. I don't know where we'll be this time next year, but hopefully we'll be, sipping a mimosa in person with your loved ones. So
yeah.
Congratulations, you made it. We're proud of you. Thank you for listening wherever you are. Have a safe and happy new year. And Elliot, I'll see you in 22, baby.
I'll see you in 22 as well, my man. Thanks so much. I loved your top 10. I don't know. I was so nervous about it. I loved it. I approve. I'm going to send you some more Orbital, though. I'm still peeved about that, but we'll talk about that later.
Deal. Thank you for listening. Elliot, you know what we always say?
Stay sipping.
Stay sipping.